And we are back again, 317th installment. We just keep rolling. We just keep racking them up, racking and stacking. 317th installment of Le Paris de la Patriots. A little French sounding lingo for you. The Paris of the Patriots. Once again, glad to have you back here. I know most of you, virtually all of you, return listeners. I appreciate you tuning in every week. If by the off chance you're someone tuning in for the first time, I hope you give the whole show a chance. You know, we kind of move along to different subjects. So if one part of it sucks, it might suck less later. We do have, I'll tell you what doesn't suck. We have a Christian specific segment, a sermon, if you would. We do that about the halfway point of the show. I'll tell you when we're going into that, make it very clear. You know, if you're going to spurg out over it, you can just not listen to that. I recommend you give it a chance one way or the other. It won't be like what you think. I don't think. I think it's pretty special, even if I do say so myself. If you do make it through the whole show and you say, hey, that actually didn't suck, that was pretty good, I'd like to throw something in the plate. Don't be shy. Pay those tithes. Send something in. Jesus wants me to have a new jet airplane. No. It's like the telemarketer. I'll pray for you to be healed if you just send your life savings to me. We don't do that here. But if you do get something out of it, I appreciate it. We got one way and one way only. Snail mail. Look here on the description page for the show. Got a snail mail address. That's it. Disregard, if you would, the crypto addresses on the site. Those are Sven's from before he went away. And I don't have access to those. I don't do cryptocurrency, to make things clear. I don't have access to that. I don't have any of the keys, passwords, none of that. I got snail mail. That's it. Don't be writing and asking, hey, you know, don't be emailing me going, hey, how can I throw something in the book? I got snail mail. That's it. And that's easy. You know, that's all I got. That's all we're doing. If the government ever does some kind of clear guidance and has something in place besides the crazy way the laws are structured now here in the U.S. with the cryptocurrency, I might go back to Bitcoin or something. I don't know. But not doing that right now. I haven't done that for some time. So, yeah, with that said, what we know what comes next. Let's look at that listener supporter mailbag for this week. I guess the show's been... Okay, well, that wraps up the listener... that wraps up the listener supporter mailbag. Yeah, okay. Well, anyway, what do we... Let's keep going. We got a clue of how the world works around us. Y'all know, if y'all been catching my Monday daily analysis, y'all know I'm burned out. I'm burned out with the whole politics thing. I do. I told Sven here a while back. I was communicating back and forth with Sven. And who's doing okay still, y'all. He's still hanging in there. He's still doing his thing. But, you know, and I told him I don't even hardly talk about politics anymore because it's just, I'm at this, I don't know, maybe I'm just burned out on it. I don't care. It's all this theater. The system keeps going on doing what the system does. See it for the reality of what it is, but it is entertaining coming across people who don't, I guess, I don't know, you know, they don't get it. I was reading somebody, I read a whole kind of, like I said, I've said this before, you know, my reading material is a wide range of people. I read people who would be classified as libertarians. I read people across the political spectrum, really. Well, I mean, except for lunatic shit libs. I mean, you already know what they're going to say. They're just going to regurgitate. They're just going to regurgitate whatever the media says. You know, I've been entertaining this idea here. I'll say this here. I've been entertaining this theory recently. I saw a deal where people have this theory now. And we all know the NPC meme. You know, especially a couple years back, it was a big thing. It's kind of like these things, you know, they come and go. But there's a theory out there, and I've been entertaining this theory because I find things interesting. I look at all kinds of different information. I find it interesting to consider. And there's a theory that there are people who literally are non-player characters. And I'm entertaining that theory. I'm not ready to commit to it and say, yeah, I think that. But when you read about this, there's people that don't have an inner monologue. They don't have a dialogue with it. They never think to themselves and work through and reason things. You know? And, these are basically, because like, if you listen to Christian specifically, you know, the mind is of the spiritual. Your brain is the physical part that you know, tells the body what to do and whatnot. These people would basically be literally mindless. They have no soul. They have no mind. That's why there's no inner monologue. They're not their mind, you know, going back and forth with their physical brain because there's no mind part. So they're just a brain and a body going through the motions, taking in what the media tells them and then turning around and vomiting it back out at you. I don't know. Like I say, I'm not signing off on that, by the way. I'm just saying it's fun to entertain the idea and think about the possibility. This world we live in is a system carrying out, you know, certain functions. And it is. I'm not saying we live in a simulation necessarily, but it is a system, you know, created by God to carry out a certain purpose. And if you want to know about all that, you're going to have to start listening to the Christian specifics. I mean, one of them people have been turning it off. You can go back. We have 317 of those things. Y'all can listen to it and figure that out. Maybe there are people who are non-player characters. They're just there to just regurgitate. Like you go up to one of these NPCs in a game and they tell you the quest. And then you walk off, your character walks off and you come back and they're just going to tell you the same. You can't have a conversation with them. What the hell was I talking? Oh, yeah. Yeah, I don't read, you know, screaming shit lips. I already know what they think. But anyway, I read all kinds of people. Because sometimes people, even though I may not agree with them on everything, they have interesting takes. And I was reading a piece the other day, an opinion piece the other day, and I just marveled. You know, especially when you read somebody, if you read somebody on a regular basis and they come across pretty grounded in the world around them. And then they'll turn around and say things and you're just like, how do you not know? I was reading this piece anyway, and the person was talking, you know, criticizing Trump's tariffs. This is the tariffs, people have these, I'm not going to get off into that. I'm tempted to, but I'm not going to get off into the woods with that. People just have no clue. Anyway, and the person was criticizing these tariffs. And he started off with a valid point, you know, because he says, and one of the criticisms of these tariffs is it's going to raise prices. We'll come back to that here in a minute as to how they're missing the big picture, the point here. But he's criticizing the tariffs because that's just going to be a tax. It's just going to be passed on to the consumer. People are already dealing with inflation. The prices are going to go up. People's lives are somehow going to suck even worse than they are now, though that's hard to imagine. And he said what the government needs to do is cut the cost of these compliance regulations. You could cut all these costs. You know, these poor, innocent corporations that are being forced to pay these costs. Because just to comply with all the government rules and regulations. You see, in other words, and they basically, then the market, if they cut all these costs, you see, you could trust the market that way. As if it exists. You know, if the government did that, and don't get me wrong, yeah, the government should because these regulations and stuff are bogus. But if they did that, if they cut these the regulation costs, let's say they cut expenditures to make something, so we'll say an automobile. You know, it costs now, government has cut all these regulations out, and it is going to cost Ford Motor Company 30% less to make that new F-150 that you've been wanting to buy. Do you think the price is going to go down? No, they're going to pocket the money. Usually, when they people miss the point. They're talking about these tariffs. Oh, it's going to raise the price. Everything raises the price. When they moved this to Mexico, when they moved this overseas, they told us, as they were firing everybody, as they were laying everybody off, they said, well, you're not going to have a job now. And you'll have to, except for maybe some shitty job you can't pay your bills with at Walmart or something. But the bright side is all this is going to get cheaper, you see. We're lowering the cost of living. The same people who will sit here and laugh at a place like Russia and people only make this month much a month. They're so poor. And you're like, well, yeah, but it costs a lot less to live there. Oh, you're just coping. Same people do that. They actually made this argument to the American people back in the 90s when they were wholesale shipping everybody's jobs and all of this manufacturing and such to Mexico and overseas. They said, well, yeah, you're not going to make any money anymore. Well, actually, they told people they had a two-prong attack. They told everybody you were going to get high-paying computer jobs. They didn't tell everybody they were going to also send those to India or just bring the Indians here to get those jobs and you're still going to be stuck working at Walmart. But they sent this because they said, we can't pay these workers and this and that. And well, it's just too expensive. But don't worry. Everything's going to be cheaper, so it'll come out okay. Ain't nothing got cheaper. Ain't nothing. They just pocket the money. That's it. When I see somebody talking about the market, invisible hand is just going to correct everything. Excuse me. I mean, how can you be that damn clueless? It's especially disappointing when you read something or hear something like this from somebody that, you know, for the most part, they usually make some pretty decent points, you know, and you kind of have a little bit of expectation. And then they just like, whew, out there, you know, I'm not talking about just a difference of opinion. I'm talking about not comprehending something. I'm getting all moved around. The mic sounds funny. Sorry about that. I'm talking about something as fundamental as just an obvious thing. There is no free market in the U.S. or in the West at all. I mean, there's just not. There's not. It hadn't been for a long time. I don't know how people with a straight face could sit around and talk about, but if they did this and did this, then invisible hand will magically start moving things around and prices will come down. Yeah. You know, prices go up. That's all they do. Somebody asked me, I don't even remember what we were talking about. Recently, we were talking about something like everything else had gone up. I remember now, I think it was trash pickup. Trash pickup had gone up again. And they were like, why? And I told them flat out, I'm like, because I can. You know, The price of fuel has been holding pretty steady. The price of diesel fuel has been pretty steady for a little while now. So they're not paying more on fuel. Hey, you know they're not paying the guys on the trash truck more money. So you know that's not the case. They're still rolling around the same old stinky rattle trap. Should have been retired 20 years ago. Trash trucks picking everything up. So it ain't because they bought a fleet of new trucks. It's because they can. They say, well, we'll raise it $20. I mean, people may grumble about it, but they'll pay the $20. The problem is, everybody's doing that. And it's not because it's costing them more. They can. So they do. It's not because the market is mysterious, the mysterious invisible hand did it. You see, now you ain't got that $20 in your pocket. Who took that $20? The invisible hand. The invisible hand took all your money. That's why you broke. It ain't because the government and corporations are the same damn thing. They're all part of one entity. That ain't it. No. the government and the corporations all wanted. No, no, the invisible hand took all your money. That's why you're broke. Go vote harder. Maybe that'll change something. These are people that always wind up having this idea that, it, like, if we just tinker, we just tinker with it a little bit, the system will start functioning in a different manner than it does. The free market is just waiting to take off. The free market. These are people, the average person, especially conservative types. See, they think corporations are just a really big business, you know? They think there's really no fundamental difference between a corporation and you, maybe, with your lawn care landscaping business or some shit. They think they're just a really big version of it. They just, I mentioned Ford earlier. They think Ford now, today, is no different than when Henry Ford was out there cranking out Model Ts or whatever the hell. They don't understand the corporations, as they're structured, are government creation. You know, I mean, they're not just simply a really big business. And I think a really good argument can be made that they shouldn't exist. Oh, but a business should be able to expand. No, maybe there should be a limit to how large a business can actually get. You know, maybe there should be, they act like it, oh, there shouldn't be a ceiling on how large a business can grow. But maybe there should be. Look around at the way this country operates. We're at this point now, forget small, small and medium businesses just are irrelevant. We're at this point now, giant corporations are swallowing up other giant corporations and become monolith corporations. We're all going to be living under one singular corporation at some point. I read some ridiculous thing the other day, and they were talking about all these jobs. Oh, you know, it was basically China stole our jobs again. I was here for all that shit. You know, and I mean, if somebody's young and all they know is what they read in books or what they hear in the media, I'm willing to give, I guess I give people benefit of the doubt, but I lived through all that. You know, China took advantage of America to put us at a disadvantage. I saw some, they said, oh, China was just all too happy to take advantage. Swiping all of our American manufacturers and taking advantage of America. See, it's such a foreign concept to Americans. And I would say anybody in the West, when I say Americans, I really, if you're in Germany, this applies to you too. So don't think I'm just being America this, America that. This applies if you're in the UK, don't make a shit. Our governments don't care about us. And so when a government like China says, oh, y'all want to ship all of your manufacturing over here. And they look at it and they have basically a viewpoint of, if we can raise the standard of living for all of our people, that will make our country better. You see, that is such a foreign concept to people in the West today that they can't wrap their minds around it. Americans especially, and I will make this America-centric, for Americans, everything's about America. You know, it can't be that the Chinese were like, well, yeah, we'll take your manufacturing. And we can, you know, we can raise the standard of living for our people and make their lives better and more prosperous, and that will be a good thing. No, it has to be they're trying to take down and weaken America. I'm not even being a China shill here. I'm just talking about the reality. You know, the reality of how all of this works. You know, I mean, no, ain't no system of government perfect. You know, but like I say, I was here for all of that. Back when it started, I was here for all of the lies. The first Bush, Bill Clinton, you know, all of them lied to us. I laugh when I look back and they were like, oh, everybody's going to have these high-tech computer jobs. They're going to pay a lot more money. And we're going to have training, by the way. They said that we're going to train everybody to do these computer jobs. That didn't happen, of course. And as soon as everything was set in stone and the other jobs were permanently gone, what did they do? They shipped as many of your computer jobs to India as they could. And then they figured out they could do even better than that. And they could just bring the Indians here. I know of multiple people who were essentially forced to train their Indian replacements because they'd work cheaper. All the while, and I'm sitting here, and I remember them saying, oh, you're going to get these high-paid computer jobs. And they import the Indians and give the jobs to them. The idea of a government that has a viewpoint of, if we can raise the standard of living of all our people, that will make our country stronger. That will be better for everybody, including the government. It's foreign to Americans for a reason, because our government hates us. They do everything. And then you got the shit libs that they'll talk about the corporations, and they think the answer is the government needs to do something about the corporations. They're the same thing. They are the same thing. How would you not get that after COVID? When they were doing the COVID hysteria and they told everybody, not a corporation, you have to close your business, you have to close your church, but Walmart can stay open. Bump up those stock prices. My favorite example of this, and I've used it before because it's just, again, I was here for all of this. My favorite example of this, and I'm going to do it again because it's my favorite. That's why it's my favorite. I use it over and over again. If you go to small town America today, you know, you go to rural areas, rural little small towns, particularly in the South, you basically, I mean, not in every instance, but in a whole lot of cases, you're going to basically see the white people version of the hood. You know, they're shitholes. Dilapidated. Nothing, you know, the businesses are payday loans and people are all, you know, there's always all these meth problems, these drug problems, primarily meth. People just look like absolute trash. And in 90% of those instances, those towns have one thing in common. If you go out on the edge of town, there's a big, ugly, hideous ass Walmart sitting out there. I was here for it, folks. I grew up in small town America. It's nice. And then Walmart came. Oh, everybody thought it was great. Because it's cheaper. Walmart's whole business plan back in the day. They would go into these small town America. This was their business plan. Well documented. They would go into small town America. Excuse me. Still getting over that cold. They go into small town America and sell everything at a loss. I saw it when they brought the Walmart into my town. People were buying stuff at garage sales, taking it up to Walmart and saying they bought it there and returning it and getting money. And Walmart wouldn't even ask for a receipt. And they're like, man, this is awesome. Like, that's going to carry on. Sell everything at below cost. My gosh, it's so much cheaper up at Walmart. What happened? Well, after all the local businesses went under, then they raised the price up to normal. You better have a receipt if you brought something in. And you know, getting your money back might be sketchy, but everything went back up to normal price. And people like didn't even notice. They're paying the same price they were paying before, by and large. And of course, the way that worked is, you know, back in the day, you had all these locally owned little businesses. You know, if the rancher came into town and bought new tires for his pickup, he went to the local tire shop and bought the tires and he paid for them. And that money went to the tire shop, and the tire shop went and bought them at the local, bought his groceries at the local grocery store. That money circulated in the town and you would have a little money coming in. You know, the rancher'd sell his cows. He would get some money come into the town, and that money would circulate, and that's how these towns survived. With Walmart, the money goes to Walmart. You know, it eventually, because that's the only place to buy anything in town now. there's no competition. You got the big hideous Walmart out there. And all the money in town is siphoned into Walmart because everybody's going to eventually go to Walmart. They go to Walmart for their tires. They go to Walmart for their groceries. They go to Walmart for everything. And so all of the money, there's never any money circulating in the town, or let me phrase that differently. It's always a minimal amount of money circulating through town, and there's a big sucking sound at the edge of town where that damn Walmart is. All of the money goes into Walmart, which goes to Wall Street. It leaves the town. You know, aside from the little pittance that they pay their Walmart wages, the money leaves the town. It goes to Wall Street. It goes to the corporate. You see, and it sucks the life out of these towns. And people don't get that. You know, they act like it's somehow an organic thing. Now, years ago, I read when they opened the first Walmart in China. They tried to do this same business model. They went in, started selling everything at a loss, just like they did in small town America. They thought they were going to do to China like they did rural America. And what happened? Well, them evil communists, let me tell you what them evil communists did. The local business owners went to the party, went to the government, and said, hey, these assholes are selling everything at a loss to try to put us out of business. And the Chinese government looked at it and said, yeah, they are. And they went to Walmart and said, okay, you got two choices. You can sell at the normal price, or we're going to close you and kick you out of our country. Guess what? Walmart raised the prices to the regular price. And the local businesses are still there. Walmart is just one of many. Now, I don't know if Walmart's still there. They may have left since then. This was years ago. You see, that's the difference. You know, that's the difference. I always think about whenever I hear some conservative mouthing off about evil communist China, and they have no clue how, you know, it actually functions. And again, I'm not shilling China here, but I'm just talking about reality. These people have no clue what they're even talking about. You know, oh, they want to tell you the Chinese. Man, it'd be nice if we could go to our government and say, hey, Walmart's selling things below cost, trying to put us out of business. And they went and said, hey, yeah, y'all can't do that. That'd be nice. Instead, my free market. What, are you some kind of communist? You got to let the free market. It's not the free market when they can afford to sell it at a loss with the intention of putting everyone else out of business so they can have a monopoly in town. And knowing this is the way it works. And you still have people trying to talk about, oh, the government just needs to get out of the way and then my invisible hand will fix everything like a magician. My free market invisible hand is going to somehow, it'll fix everything. And America, we back again. We just got to turn loose the economic engine of the invisible hand and the free market. That's no less clueless than the lefty who says the government just needs to, you know, crack down on the corporations and raise their tax rates or something. Same level of clueness. It's just from a different direction. And meanwhile, the system just keeps chugging along, doing what it does. Well, we're going to keep chugging along. We're going to chug along right into the Christian specific segment. You know what to do. Get in there and fill those pews. Let's get into this week's sermon at the Parish of the Patriots. In the book of Luke, chapter 13, verses 23 through 27. Written, then said one unto him, Lord, are there few that be saved? And he said unto them, strive to enter in at the strait gate, for many, I say unto you, will seek to enter in, and shall not be able. When once the master of the house is risen up, and hath shut to the door, and ye begin to stand without, and to knock at the door, saying, Lord, Lord, open unto us. And he shall answer and say unto you, I know you not whence ye are. Then shall ye begin to say, we have eaten and drunk in thy presence, and thou hast taught in our streets. But he shall say, I tell you, I know you not whence ye are. Depart from me, all ye workers of iniquity. I read a piece just recently, and it was written, I wasn't particularly familiar with the author of the piece that was written. But obviously, he's somebody who has a religious education background. And there were several points, of course, that really stuck out at me. And I was going to bring some of those points up today. And because it was such some of the most, again, common stumbling points. If somebody with an obvious education in religion, particularly in Christianity, can't get over these stumbling points, and what of the regular person out there? You know, it gets frustrating sometimes when you see people being so incorrect and wandering around in things that are just very clear. I'm not talking about, you know, really detailed minutiae of the faith. I'm talking about basic fundamental things that are just clearly written out in the Bible, such as what we just read. And I'll get to that here in just a minute. How are the people that have to go to work every day, that struggle to find an hour on the weekend to maybe go to church, how are they going to have a clue of any of this if the people who are teaching them, they themselves have no clue about any of this? And I mean, the piece I was reading, I'm not going through it here, you know, line for line. I'm not going to sit here and read from it. I'm just going to point out the points that were being made. I mean, not everything this person was trying to point out is why I decided to read through this article. You know, the article was written as a criticism of, you know, the policy of the government of Israel towards the Palestinians, you know, viewing them as Amalek. And I thought I'd read this. But one of the things that struck me right off, just right out of the gate, I mean, again, they're correct in criticizing Israeli government policy towards the Palestinians. But what struck me is right off the bat, this person accepts the premise that the people of this modern nation state of Israel are the Israel of the Old Testament. I mean, just right off the bat, you have this fundamental error. You accept this false premise, but then you're trying to work from there. And it's always going to handicap you. You know, if you start from a false premise, if you start from a lie, in this case, that these people are essentially the modern version of the Old Testament Israel, which is just, again, wrong. Because, see, you can make some decent points about, say, Israeli policy towards the Palestinians, but you're going to miss the mark. You're going to wind up missing the mark if you're accepting the false premise that these people are the same Israel of the Bible. You know, it goes to that evangelical viewpoint that they read, on the rare occasion they read a few snippets from the Old Testament, they apply it to this modern nation state of Israel, and you're not going to be correct because you're starting from a lie. Of course, I think one of the reasons that gets dodged is because if you do point out that truth, that these people have no relation of the Israel of the Old Testament, then one, why do they call themselves that? And two, then they have no claim on that land. They have no claim on that part of the world. Now, this isn't the main point I wanted to get into in today's discussion. It, as you would probably guess from the verses we just read out of the Bible, later on in the piece, this guy again makes that common fundamental error. He says something along the lines of, every human being on the face of the earth is made in the image of God, as a child of God, and has the potential to be saved by Jesus Christ. I'm paraphrasing. I'm not reading from the article, but he says this. And this is a fundamental error. Reference back if you need to, you know, reread what we just went over. That was Luke 13, 23 through 27. Reread that. I'm not going to reread it here because we're going to roll along here with our discussion. Reread that and tell me, how do you come across, how do you come to the conclusion that every person on the face of the earth is a child of God with that could get into heaven? It doesn't make sense. Now, which way do we want? Let's approach it this way, because there's two separate things I want to go to with this. One, those who do have the potential to enter the kingdom of God but fall short. This comes close to what Jesus Christ is referencing in what we read here. He's referencing people that are made in the image of God and have the potential to save by Jesus Christ but miss the mark. They stand outside the door. Now, if you read the familiar parable of the wheat and the tares, this illustrates that there are people among us who are not. They are the weeds. They're the tares. These are separate people. And I'm sitting here talking out loud trying to decide which one of these I want to approach first. Let's do the fact that there's people among us that are not us. They're tares. Let's address that first. This is a scary thing. The world is a scary place. And I think some of this, when you get into this gibberish about everybody's a child of God, blah, 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 it's just because if you accept the reality of the way the world is, you have to then come to the realization that the world is a scary place. When Jesus told the Pharisees, "You are the children of the devil. You do the work of your father. He's a liar and a murderer. You do his work." When he speaks lies, that's his native tongue. That's what he does. And that's what you do because you are of him. Now, he wasn't speaking. I mean, yes, he was speaking at that moment just to them. But they weren't a single outlier in all the history of mankind. That doesn't make any sense. Just these, say there was a dozen of these Pharisees. I don't know how many there actually were. Say there was a dozen of them. You're going to tell me out of all of the history before and since of mankind, the only quote unquote children of the devil were these 12 dudes. They were just an outlier, just cropped up and walking around in human form. No. That doesn't make sense. They came from somebody. They wound up. I've been thinking about this topic off and on, this particular topic off and on all week. And as I was going through it in my mind, I kept referring to these people as skinwalkers. Just because. If you think of these people as essentially, they look human, they talk like they're human, but they're not human in the sense that you or I are human. They're not human in the sense of being created by God. Now, let's keep rolling with this. Let's follow this thread of thought. Because I'm not dehumanizing anybody. I'm talking about accepting the reality that there are people out there who are tares. You know, who are these people? Who are these people that are tares? Now, you know, a simplistic view, you sit there and say, "Oh, well, Jesus, the Clintons or George Soros, those people are obviously tares." Again, that's trying to comfort yourself because those are powerful people that are way off somewhere. You see, that's still a comforting thought because you're not going to, they may do things that negatively affect the world around you. But again, I'm going to tell you what, you're interacting with tares every single day. Skinwalkers, people who are not children of God that have the potential to be saved by Jesus Christ. Nowhere in the parable of the wheat and the tares did Jesus say these tares can be turned into wheat. That's just the reality. you deal with these people. There's people like this all around you. A good example, there's many years ago, decades and decades ago, I was looking for a job and had to find something. I needed some money coming in. I needed to find a job. And I looked and there was a new car dealership that was hiring new car salesmen. I'd never done that before. I'm like, well, you know, I'm decent with people. I'll give this a shot. You know, of course, they put this outlandish, you know, you can make all this money, which was, of course, a lie. And so I went down there and I got hired. And I probably lasted a little over a month. And I'm just like, I'm not doing this. Because it's a den of skinwalkers. I didn't really understand it at the time. I was just like, I just knew on a fundamental level, I can't do this. The things that they train you how to be successful at this, you know, in this new car sales and how the whole system works. And, you know, y'all listening, y'all know what these people are like. You know, for instance, they said, look, if you get somebody in here, if you can get their credit approved and, you know, you're talking to, and you know, they're looking at a car, they can't afford it. You know, they're not going to be able to make the bank. Don't try to sell them a cheaper car that they can afford. Just get them sold. The fact they can't make those payments, you know, they can't make those payments. That is not your problem. Screw them. Get it sold. The lying and cheating and deceiving. And of course, they had a lot of turnover, even in people that, you know, management positions, sales management and finance management. They had a ton of turnover. These people are always going from one place to another. But you know, aside from people that just starting in it and within a month, they're like, I'm not doing this for a living. I'm not going to sit here and lie to people's faces. You know, people come in and say, you know, I'll buy a car, but I'm not going to do this or that or the other. And you go and say, hey, this guy's ready to buy a car. You know, it's going to be good. He just doesn't want any of these things. And they turn around and tell you, oh, well, they'd write down those very things and say, sell it to them. Convince them to do it. It's a game to them. It's a game to them. See, the skinwalkers, as it were, these people who are not like us. They look like us. They mimic us. They smile at your face and you know, they'll put up pictures of their family in the office and things such as that. They're not us. You know, the truth and a lie, they don't carry the same weight to them. They have no weight at all. You know, the truth is whatever. The lie is whatever. It's just say what they need to say to convince you. If they can emotionally manipulate you to do that. I saw just to continue along this line, you know, to highlight this. A new guy came in the short time that I was there. They made this new guy the temporary new sales manager, I guess it was. And a young woman came in, probably in her early 20s. She had a job as a secretary somewhere, paid decent enough. She came in to buy a new car, and they got it sold to her. They sold her this new car. She had a decent job. Now, this was right before I was going to leave. And, you know, if nothing else, I was going to leave because I was starving to death. That's why they had a lot of turnover, too, in the sales department, besides it's scummy, is... we weren't making any money either. Anyway, they sell this young woman a new car. She's going to be able to make the payments with the job that she has. Next thing we know, this same young woman is standing around the sales. She quit her job to become a sales person here. And we were all like, what are you doing here? And the new sales manager had convinced her she'd make a lot more money if she quit her job. And we were like, no, we're all starving to death. We're all quitting. And she's like, don't tell me this. I've got car payments to make now. Long and short of it was this guy wanted to screw her. And so he wanted to see if he'd be able to get into her pants. So he convinced her to quit her job and go to work there just to see if he could get her in bed. That was the long and short of it. The fact that now she quit a good job and is going to have a hard time making her car payments, that was of no weight to him. See, you and me, I hope you. I believe in y'all. You or I could not do that. You know, we have a conscience that would bother us to convince somebody to quit their job, put themselves in a bad position, just because you see if you could use them in some way or another. You see, the skinwalkers, the tares, they don't care. I mean, and I don't mean they don't care as in like, you know, when you get frustrated, say, man, I just don't care. No, I mean, they literally, it doesn't mean anything to them. People, they don't view other people any differently than they'll view, you know, a coffee cup or something. You are just an object. If they can move you around and manipulate you around and get something out of it. I'm going to move on from this this illustration, example of these people here in just a moment. I'm going to give one more example. This same scumbag. These Mexicans come in. And like, I'm talking Mexico Mexicans. I mean, they know habla the English, but this guy could habla the Espanol. And these guys came in and they wanted to buy a new pickup. And they had like $6,000 to put down. And this was on a Friday. He takes their $6,000 and has a contract written up that basically says this is a deposit. If you don't get approved on the financing, you got to bring the truck back. But you're giving up that deposit. And he's speaking Espanol to these guys who don't speak no English. And they leave. They're going to come back on Monday to finish the paperwork. But the only thing is, everybody there knows those guys aren't going to get approved for a loan. They're probably, I don't even think they were legal. You see, it was just a scam to steal the $6,000 from them. You know, that never mind how long it took them to save up the $6,000. He just did that knowing that they aren't going to get approved. He just stealing the $6,000. I quit that day. I never saw the outcome of that. Because I was curious if maybe those guys were going to wind up stabbing this asshole. And you see, those are low-level skinwalkers. Your politicians, by and large, as a group, there may be a few outliers. We're not talking about the outliers. Your politicians are skinwalkers. When they look at you and smile and say, oh, yes, I stand for your First Amendment, Second Amendment, whatever the hell amendment rights, and by golly, we're going to do it. And then they go up there and then they do something different. And people are like, why do these politicians do something different? And it's like, why do they all lie? Because they're skinwalkers. You're trying to project yourself onto them. You're trying to imagine that they're empathetic like you are. You're trying to imagine that they view other people the way that you do. And they don't. They view people in a way that is so foreign to you that you can't begin to grasp how they view you. They don't care. We could not do that. We can't just look at people and lie. You know, I'm not talking about people. Yeah, everybody lies. There's a difference. You know? If you get caught in an embarrassing situation, you made an embarrassing mistake at work or, you know, something like that. You might lie because, you know, it's embarrassing. You're trying to cover it up, you know, and whatnot. And even if you get away with a lie, it still weighs on you, doesn't it? See, those people, the skinwalkers, they're not like that. You know, it doesn't affect them that way. They'll tell you something in a manner that seems 100% completely earnest, smiling, looking at you in the eye. And then tomorrow, they'll do the opposite, or they'll say the opposite. It's just whatever suits them at the time. They're not like you. People like that are children of the devil. They're literally not you. They look like you. They look like human beings. They know how to do the expressions on their faces and interact and talk and you know they. But it's kind of on a spiritual level. It's an act because they don't view other people. They don't view the world. A lie has weight when you tell it. The truth has weight of importance, but not for these people. They're just words, and they don't mean anything. And the truth is, they're all around us. You know, I'm not trying to make anybody paranoid, but that's the reality of the world we live in. Going around and trying to pretend that that's not it. Look, I was thinking of this off and on all week. And I was like, just imagine you get dropped off, you know, in Africa, like out there in the bush, jungle, whatever the hell you want to say. You know, where there's all these dangerous, you know, lions and shit out there. Now, undoubtedly, you're in a dangerous situation. But if you're going through the safari going, oh, no, hell, I've seen these animals in the zoo. Everything's fine. Hell, I watched all these Disney movies growing up. I watched The Lion King 5 times. Hell, I ain't scared of no lions. Look at the hippos. They're so cute. I think I'll run over and jump on one. If you wander, regardless of the situation, you're in the jungles of Africa. You're in a dangerous spot. Now, if you deal with that from a standpoint of reality, you're like, man, here I am. I better avoid the lions. Them hippos, there ain't no hippos like on TV. Them hippos will kill you. They're one of the most dangerous animals in Africa. Just stay away. I get through here. I need to avoid the lions and the hippos and all the other things that could kill me. This is going to be tough, but I gotta get moving and I gotta walk through here. I just thought of that Creedence song. I gotta run through the jungle. I gotta get through the jungle and try to avoid all these scary pitfalls. Dealing with that reality is emotionally taxing, but you're going to have a lot better chance of surviving than if you go through and act like you just live in the, you're just going through the IRL version of the Lion King or some shit. You know, and you just skip through here. All the pretty animals, look at them. You ain't going to make it a day. You're going to be some kind of animal shit the next morning because you walking around acting like, you know, it's some crap you saw at the movies or something. I think this nonsense of acting like everybody's a child of God, everybody's made in God's image, everybody got just an equal. I think there's a part of this denying the reality of how dangerous this world is. But again, the level of how evil this world is, how dangerous this world around us is, doesn't change because of your denial. It is what it is. You in the jungle one way or the other, you better accept the reality so you can act accordingly, so you can be cautious. It's written, you know, the devil is like a roaring lion looking to see who he can devour. Well, he ain't alone. There are people, there are a lot of evil people. And they're not going to, they don't view other people the way that you do. Now, the other part of it, we dealt with that. What about the people that are made in the image of God, but they're just, you know, as Jesus is speaking to here, they find themselves locked out. You know, they're made in the image of God, have potential to be saved by Jesus Christ. You know, they're basically descendants of the first man, Adam. They are part of carrying out, you know, the potential to carry out this program of growing spiritually, maturing, and getting ready for the next life. These people who are, but are yet going to use their free will to make decisions that are going to come up short. They're not going to do it. Now, people have a problem with this. Christian people have a problem with this. They say, because basically, like, well, that's not fair. It's not fair. Why would God, why is it? Jesus says, make every effort to enter the narrow gate. He says in the old, in the New James, it says the straight gate, however you want to say it. You'll make every effort because it's narrow and a lot of people are going to try and they're going to come up short. I've read a deal, just an example. I read a deal the other day and I didn't even realize this is a thing, apparently, because... But apparently there are some preachers who reference where it talks about, you know, if you save one soul, it covers over a multitude of sins, you know, which demonstrates it's a big deal. You know, It's a big deal in the kingdom of God, bringing people to the fulfillment of God's purpose for them through Jesus Christ to be saved. Well, duh. But apparently, and I didn't even realize this, apparently there's preachers who justify sin and say, well, I'm a soul. You know, if you save souls, then see, your sins don't count. And I was surprised to learn that there's people apparently actually teaching a doctrine like that. I didn't even realize that. If you're a soul saver, your sins aren't counted against you. They're just covered up. Anybody who's preaching a anybody who's approaching the faith from a standpoint of looking for an excuse to get away with sin has missed the mark. You know, their heart is not where it needs to be. And sadly, in so much of the churches now, that's the way they preach Jesus Christ, is he's your get out of sin consequence for free card. If you accept Jesus, then you can sin all you want to. See, here's the thing about that is, if you're approaching the faith from a standpoint of looking for an excuse to sin as much as you want to without a consequence, then you're going to be one of those people banging on the door outside, and he's like, I don't even know who you are. You see, if you're looking for an excuse to get away with sin, because that's what you want to do, You just look at, you want to live like every other worldly person. You have no desire to be Christ-like. You have no desire to be closer to God in this manner. You want to live like everybody else, but you've heard about this hell thing, and I don't really want any part of that either. So you're trying to find some way to lawyer God out of the consequences. And these false doctrines, all you got to do is say these words right here in these verses, repeat that back, and God can't send you to hell because, see, he can't lie. If you're approaching the faith as some way to get away with sin so you can live like everybody else, and you're missing the point. You're supposed to get to the point, you know, of you want to be closer to God. You want to be more like Christ. You're dissatisfied with sin. Now, I want to get back to, I kind of wandered off with that a little bit. I want to get back to the fact that people have a problem with that notion that many will try to enter and few will be able to. That doesn't sound fair. That doesn't sound fair. I was thinking about how people say that's not fair. Whatever country you live in, I'll use the U.S. as an example, but every country has them. Every government has some version in their military of a special forces unit. Like here in the U.S., all the branches have one. You know, in the Army, it's the Green Berets. For whatever reason, try not to use vulgar terms, for whatever reason, the people in this country idolize the Navy SEALs. But regardless of what country you live in, your government, your military has some form of special, you know, special forces in the military. I'm going to, since everybody in this country, in the U.S., idolizes the Navy SEALs, I'll use them as an example. You know, people go, they're already in that branch of the service, and they decide, you know, I want to take steroids, get lots of tattoos, and you know, get lots of attention for being a Navy SEAL. So I'm going to go try out. I'm going to go become a Navy SEAL. I'm a pretty badass, and everybody tells me I am. I'm going to become a Navy SEAL. You'll have every year however often they do it. You know, they have people enter into these special ops, these special forces programs. And, you know, the vast majority of the people that sign up for that program are going to wash out because it's a very difficult program. It's a very, very, only the elite of the elite can get through the program. Now, if you tell people, you know, particularly the conservative types, well, that's not fair. You know, the same person that might a few minutes ago was telling you it's not fair that many are going to try to get into the kingdom of God, but they're not going to be able to do it. They'll say, that's not fair. Why would God do? I don't. God didn't like that. The same people, if you say, well, that's not fair that most people that try out to be a Navy SEAL are going to wash out of the program. And they'll say, oh, no. Let me tell you something, buddy. America's greatest, America's finest, America's top-notch cream of the crop heroes, like the Navy SEALs. You got to be the elite. It has to mean something. You're not getting a participation trophy for this. Let me tell you, buddy, you don't get no participation trophy for trying out for the Navy SEALs. America wants the greatest of the greatest and the best of the best. Now, don't get me wrong, buddy. All our troops are heroes. But if you're going to be the cream of the crop, if you're going to get these special bow down before them for being superheroes, you see, you got to have standards. That's why the position means something. You see, they become a Navy SEAL. You know he worked hard for it. He accomplished it. He was the cream of the crop. The best of the best. That's all that's good enough for America's Navy SEALs. But God should hand out participation trophies. People will sit here and make the argument that to be in the special forces of the military, you got to be the best of the best. But God's supposed to just take any old sack of shit that walks up and says, I want in. It's fair to want the best of the best for my heroes. But God should just settle for whoever. It's not fair if God wants people who've put the work in. You see that how that doesn't really make sense, does it? If your Navy SEALs have a program where most people aren't going to make it because it's a very difficult program, then how much more so for the Lord? And again, this isn't just my opinion. I try to be very careful about what I say. I do. I try that because I don't want to screw up. I'm just a guy like the rest of you, and sometimes I get things wrong. But we started off reading from our Bible today in this segment. These things are very clearly spelled out in the Bible. And not just this singular verse. If you understand the context of the whole thing, going all the way back to the beginning, you see this pattern with the Lord of culling people down. You know, whether you look at the story of Gideon and going up against these odds and with not nearly enough guys, and God's answer is to keep culling them out till he's down to a handful of dudes. You see a pattern with the Lord over and over of he doesn't want just everybody. He's culling people down. It's always, it comes back to that pattern of a remnant. You see that pattern over and over. You know, if I say something that's just kind of my opinion, just kind of my theory, but I don't necessarily see it in the Bible, I probably won't mention it at all. If I do mention it, I will try to clearly say this is just a theory of mine. It's not necessarily from the Bible or anything. I'll just say that. So I try to be careful. But this stuff here, like what we discussed today, and we got to go ahead and wrap up here, but I mean, this is clearly spelled out in the Bible. It's not even like, I've got some kind of great insight and I'm sharing this great insight. I mean, this is very clearly spelled out if you have any familiarity with it all. And yet you have people who have degrees, supposedly, in these sort of things. And they act like they're going through a live version of The Lion King. We're going to wrap up on that. I appreciate you stopping by and giving the show a listen. Hope you got something out of it. As always, I hope to see you here next week for the Parish of the Patriots.